guys, I'm going to talk about gamification today of my life because of this new app that I got. It tracks my mood. So like right now I'm looking at it and I've got like 100% mood because I'm like happy. I'm creative. I feel productive. I feel strong because I worked out. So I've got like this really cool metric of my, you don't sound impressed. You sound kind of bummed out by it.
No. You know what I was going to say? If I was tracking my sort of day, I'd be 100% fucking sick as hell, tight. That's what mine would probably say.
What?
Kind of an assessment of Matt as a person.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
cool. I think mine, you know, we're recording and I haven't had lunch yet. So I think mine would say 90% hangry.
Yeah. My metrics are dropping in real time. I'm at 80%. I was at 100% when I sat down at the, and I'm at 80%. It can tell from my blood pressure and my heartbeat. Like this is a real metric.
Can I ask you like a real question about it?
Of course.
Does it say, is there like a metric for what percent angel and what percent devil you are?
What?
I can be your angel or your devil, depending on what you need.
I'm in the red. It works on like a green, yellow, red. I'm in the red.
I'm downloading the app and I can check Nick's metric on mine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wild. And it says 100%. I didn't have a good one.
You interrupted me to set yourself up for a joke that you didn't even know what you were going to say.
Well, because on my metric, it always says...
Is that
says,
what's happening all the time on this show?
No, because on mine, it says 100% ready to always have a joke. So like, I'm actually also thrown by what's happened.
Right.
I'm getting an alert that says, take a moment to breathe. We talk about games and tackle our backlog on this week's episode of How Did This Get Played?
Welcome to How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest and, whoa, Matt's a full host now. Congrats, dude. Video games of all time. That third W, and I'd say a W for the podcast, was by local man. Submit yours at GetPlayedPod, hashtag WWW. I'm a fifth W, Nick Weiger, along with Heather Ann Campbell.
I'm Heather Ann Campbell, along with our third host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Bucket.
Edge.
Can I insert a sixth W real quick?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Strategery.
What?
Mission accomplished, Matt.
Yeah. I was doing George W. Bush.
Oh, my God.
Heather's already out. This is less than a minute in and Heather's checked out. This is
shit. I had this thought, speaking of Matt being a host, that I wish we'd done, which is that I wish we had announced it as Nick and I going, what? And then you hear the boom, 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 boom. Matt is evolving. And then we made him into a host.
And then I have to be like a grown up, like, hello, everyone.
What would your evolution be? Like Matt Apodaca into Matt, like, Warpodaca? What would it be?
Yeah, that's good. Well,
Metapodaca?
Hmm. That's a good question. And you know what? I'll leave it to the listeners. I think Heather was going to throw to the listeners for a second. If you got one, if you want to animate me into evolving, please do it. Two, hey, what's my form? You get to pick.
Wow. That gives a lot of power to people who are chaotic neutral at best.
Yeah, you know what? I've been given the opportunity to have a little power, a little say, and you know what? I bequeath some unto you, listener. Go off.
Very noble of you. Very un-W of you.
You know what? Thank you for saying that. Finally, yeah. Someone's holding his feet to the flames.
Is this
Ellen DeGeneres,
still a show,
you are not welcome on the podcast.
Oh my God.
First and off, Peanuts, you're canceled for not finishing the job.
That is bullshit. If Ellen called you guys, you would immediately email, holy shit, Ellen DeGeneres wants to be on the show.
You know what? She would probably have us review Heads Up or one of her little app party games.
Right.
And you know what? That doesn't align with the show's ethics.
No, thank you.
We won't do it. You want to come on and talk about your game? We're going to talk all the shit we want.
Hey, so the Triforce of Friendship, the three of us, is once again assembled. And
This
week, we're just talking games. We're just shooting the shit about all things VG, video gaming. Let's start off with what we're playing. Heather, you've dug in on Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut.
Yes. So I was telling you guys on our little text thread, which is like, it's a way that friends talk. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys...
Are you explaining this to yourself?
You have an active thread of people with a common interest, and you talk mm-hmm. about your common interest. Unfortunately, those for me only extend to coworkers. So I was telling you guys that Nick astutely said that I would find Ghost of Tsushima's combat a little bit easy. So yes. I started my playthrough on hard mode. There is a mode above where I am, which is one sword hit kills, but I didn't know how any of it worked. And so I didn't set it to one sword hit kills. A week into the game, I'm going to bump it up to one sword hit kills.
Wow.
Because I think that parry systems in games, unless it's something where like both parties can parry, like they ruin the game. All I have to do is stand in a place until a dude moves his sword and then I parry it and stab him. Mm-hmm. Like there's no, if there's a robust parry and dodge system, combat becomes extremely easy. So I've just been rolling. Like the only places I can't go, even though I'm in the beginning of the game and I liberated villages without the ability to shoot a bow and arrow or assassinate anybody. Cause I was just like, this is great. And like the building would be red and it would be like, you're not ready for this. And I'm like, come on, let's mm-hmm. go. Let's go. The only places I can't go are the ones that the game just has me locked outside of, where it's like infinite arrows fire into your body. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Like if I can scale this wall or figure out a way into this fort, I should be able to kill everybody inside, which is something that Assassin's Creed does in Valhalla. Like if you go to a place that you shouldn't be and clear it out, then later when you come back, it's got corpses everywhere. And that's great. That's all.
So
what?
Every time I hear a detail about Valhalla specifically, I'm just always so impressed at what they are able to achieve with that game and that mm-hmm. franchise in general. They're able to anticipate what a player might do and then account for it in the game. That's incredible.
Like in one of the earliest fortresses in Valhalla, which is like a wall of unclimbable fences, right? Mm-hmm. Or what, like towers. I discovered that you could sort of like cheese your way down a cliff in order to get into the fortress. And then I killed everybody in the fortress and didn't have any of like the special abilities you're supposed to have. And it allowed me to sequence break and then return there in the story. Mm-hmm. Like it was, And and as a result, like, very few people were there to fight us when we returned as part of the, like, brigade.
Yeah. Wow.
I love a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a surprise.
No. Anyone who's listening to this podcast knows that. I will say that the, okay, I understand your point about, yes, if you've got a dodge and parry system, you know, and blocking, then, you know, the if you want to distinguish that from parrying, which I think it's its own thing, then yes, combat can become, depending on how, on like the timing windows for those things, combat can become a little bit easy. I do think it's probably a little too easy in Ghost of Tsushima at the normal difficulty level, but it's also like a, you know, mass market AAA game where they're trying to get a lot of audience of get a lot of people who maybe aren't as adept at gaming as you are, Heather. My question is, like, what, so do you not want those systems, or do you just want, like because you, like, you want some way to actively defend yourself in combat, right?
Yeah. Yes. But I think, what was the name of that fucking game? That impossible samurai game from From Software? Sekiro. Sekiro?
Yeah.
Yes. Sekiro. That game had a really, like, that was combat where I was like, okay, every fucking fight is a nightmare. I still subscribe to the subreddit on that game just to watch other people playing that game, right? So here's what I want. I want the, so in Valhalla, there are optional mini bosses that you can attack on the road who have a wildly overpowered skill set. Like, they can, like, throw infinite javelins at you or whatever. And really, if you have the ability to roll and dodge, it maxes out. Like, you have to roll constantly. And I don't know why not just have that for everybody? Mm. I kind of believe that most of the people who are invading an island would be stronger than me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm saying here. I'm not a video game developer. Why'd you ask me this fucking question?
I don't know, because you seem to have some strong takes on
it. You're the developer. You figure it out.
Combat is tough. Combat is, there are people who, there are designers who specifically focus on combat, and that's all they do is they implement it and make sure it's finely tuned. I mean, that's like one of the toughest things to make, because it's, so much of it is based off of feel. So much of it is like, does this feel good? Does the animation and the effects that are happening match the power level of what the move does? You know, like does this look like it's doing the correct amount of damage? Like, you know, like, it's like, so much of the stuff is just feel. It's just so subjective.
Maybe
I think
the problem is healing, not parrying. I think that Dark Souls has parry, but you have a limited number of times over the course of your entire existence before you reset all of the, like, enemies. Like, you have a limited number of times you can heal. And worst case scenario, if I go into a village and I'm like fucking parrying everybody and somebody gets a good hit on me, I can run out of the village, heal, come back in, and I've lost nothing. Uh-huh. Maybe the solution is that, like grounded mode in The Last of Us, your ability to heal should be handicapped.
But is that the case on the higher difficulty levels of Ghost of Tsushima, or is that, like, also you still think it suffers from the same problem?
Well, on the hard mode that I am on now, it's like two hits to kill me, right?
Okay.
So yeah, I take one hit, I roll out of the fucking way, heal, go after the guy again. And then once I've finished the encounter, you automatically heal like halfway.
And it's, you're secure in your abilities as a gamer that you're not going to take more than two hits before you can heal.
Sometimes I do. I mean, mm-hmm. when I surround myself with dudes and I can't tell what any of their animation is doing, it just looks like visual gibberish, then I don't know what I'm doing. But, like, it's not often enough that happens that it prevents me from I just sound like I'm fucking bragging. I hate this segment. What is this segment?
You want to talk about
I'm a jerk?
You wanted Heather's to talk about it. You said this is a thing I definitely want to talk about. What a jerk I am. I think what's going on here is that, because I loved Ghost of Tsushima. I haven't played Valhalla, but I think if I could psychoanalyze what's going on with you, it's like,
and you're equipped to do this.
And I'm very equipped to do that. Okay. And this is ethical. It's an ethical thing to do in public.
Yeah.
It's like on
My
Friends.
Dad. Uh-huh.
It's like on Friends when Ross is making that list of like comparing Rachel to Julie, and he's listing everything that he likes about Julie. And then he gets to the end and he's like, what? But he's got the con, and the con is she's not Valhalla.
I have seen two episodes of Friends in my life.
Uh-huh.
Ross is a character.
That's right. Great head of hair.
That's
kind
all
of a sad
got.
Sack. Everyone loved him.
One of the great comedic actors of our times.
Yeah. We were on a break.
Literally should've don't know what that. You guys are fucking talking about at all. None.
Should have saved that for when we threw to a break.
Hey, so
that's true. So you're still in the first area because there's kind of three main areas on this island, and they're gated based on like story progression. You're still in the first area.
Yes.
Got it.
And you long
to be able to get to the rest, to explore the entire island before you've hit those story beats.
I just want to combat. I'm just riding to what looks like a fortress anywhere on the map. And then I go in there and I combat. That's all I want. I don't care about the story. I want like the pleasure of play.
Yeah.
But play Bloodborne or something. Play a combat based game. Play an all combat game.
But I have played.
Well, then what? I don't know what to tell you.
The cover of the game is a dude with a sword.
I think it's still fun. And I think that eventually when you get all those abilities that you talked about, like it's like, yeah and I'll be curious to see your assessment of this when you play it on the nightmare difficulty level that you crave. But there are parts where you kind of just feel like it's like the Rocksteady Batman games where you have so many abilities that you can kind of just chain together that you kind of feel just like so powerful. Like you can be in a crowd of dudes and just completely clean house. And I like that feeling. I like that power fantasy.
Great.
And, you know, sometimes a samurai has to pick and choose when to use the blade and when not to use the blade.
That's true.
So,
very true.
From what I've probably played as much as you at this point. I've had it for longer. There was a part in the game where I killed someone. I stabbed them in the back because it gave me the option to. You can assassinate people, not unlike Assassin's Creed. And then I got a flashback to my uncle being like, "Don't do that."
Yeah.
I was like, well, wait a minute. You let me, the game let me, and then I got in trouble. And I was so upset.
I do. It is jarring when that happens. Like you get punished for doing something that you have to do for progression. But yeah. I will say as the game moves on, like the story like kind of works. Like it's like, oh, I get why it's making me do this. I get why it's making me use these tactics that are, you know, dishonorable and scolding me for it. Because that's ultimately the whole arc of the story, which I know Heather could not give less of a shit about.
But. I just run up to a crowd of guys. I do the thing where you call them out.
Uh-huh.
And they're like,
that.
That's
you
so
fucking
fun.
Scream at them. And then they're like, okay. And then they try and like fake you out. And you're like, no, this isn't good. I'm a samurai.
Yeah.
And then you cut them. And the other guys in the background go, oh, God.
Love it. It's so great. It's so great.
I love the move to be like, hey, you fuckers, which one of you wants to die right now? And then.
Yeah.
I also like it when that randomly targets the leader of the fort.
Yeah.
So like you come up on the fort and there's like six guys and I don't know how to aim my call out. But you'll call out and once in a while it'll be the main dude in the fancy armor and you'll skip whatever the boss fight was going to be with that guy by just cutting him in half in front of his troops. It's great. That part's great.
Yeah, it's I think those infiltrations, you know, some of those later camps I think are too big. I platinumed the original game on PS4. I haven't played the director's cut yet. I'm not sure if I'll get a chance to, although I am intrigued by it. It just is so aesthetically pleasing. But I do feel like infiltrating those camps is like super fun. And I know you haven't gotten to the stealthier parts yet. But like I Also, you hate stealth, so why am I bringing this up? But like, I like stealthing my way. I like stealthing my way through those for as long as I could, and then until eventually hell breaks loose. I don't know. I thought the game was really, really well done and really, really well, really, really satisfying all the way through. I'm actually excited to hear how you feel as you unlock more of it.
Me too. I'm excited about that also. Do you know if sticky bombs have splash damage? I haven't used one yet, but I have it unlocked. Like, if I throw a sticky bomb on a dude in front of his friends, will it hurt his friends too, or just kill him?
The way I remember it, yes, I think it does have an area of effect.
Can't wait.
I could be wrong.
A really satisfying, like, animation for them too, because they're sort of just like, oh shit, like, then they can't get it off, and then they explode.
Yeah. Speaking of what we're playing, Matt, I know you are immersed as you seem to constantly be in the Kingdom Hearts franchise, playing Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop. Just fuck, that is a mouthful.
Yeah,
Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance.
Yes,
for the Nintendo 3DS.
Yes, well, and this is the thing. I am playing it. I'm playing the HD remaster, which is on PS4. Playing it on my PS5. It looks great. It plays really well. And I was going to say, I've also mentioned this in the group thread, and this is, Nick, this is being a good friend. You're remembering things we're talking about. So this is really nice.
I'm trying to be. I'm trying to do my part, both as a host and as a friend.
So just not remembering a single thing about you.
I used to, as a kid, I thought I looked so generic that I was surprised when people recognized me. I was like, I look like every kid. Yeah. How does anyone distinguish me from any other kid?
Yeah. Well, you got printed out at a kid factory.
Yeah. I'm the default RPG creator character model. Like,
but I am playing Dream Drop Distance, and I am liking it so far. It has a couple of elements in it that have taken a bit of getting used to. You play as both Riku and Sora sort of in different, like, I don't fucking know. Like, different, dimension isn't the right word, because Riku's actions have effect on Sora's actions. But I guess it's like, but they're also happening at the same time. So I don't know what the fuck to call that. And I don't think they give you a really good reason for what it is either.
That doesn't sound like Kingdom Hearts.
No.
So wait, you're like in a, are you in a bubble? What's happening? What do you mean?
So
can,
like,
you say anything more about this?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, like, you go to the worlds like how you would.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, like, so far I've gone to, like, the fake France that takes place in I don't even know if it's fake. It could be real. I just don't know.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. Yeah. And I'm in the grid, which I was very happy to see is modeled after Tron Legacy and not the original Tron. Because I was one of the few people that was like, I loved Tron Legacy. I love it.
Wow.
I just give me more of that. It looks cool. I don't give a shit. I don't care if the story's good. Similar to Heather with Ghost of Tsushima. I don't care about the story of Tron. It looks sick the whole time. Every single thing in that movie looks fucking cool. It's so cool. I love it. And Daft Punk did the music. Top to bottom,
the music. Oh, the music's great.
Unbelievably good. Like,
yeah.
But anyway, so you're like, you're just in the world like how you would, but then sometimes your character, whichever, if you're playing Sora or Riku, there's like a timer that I don't know how it's timed out necessarily, but you have then a limited time to get to like a story point, and then your character will fall asleep, and then you'll get to be the other character.
Wait, so like he'll be like hitting somebody and then the timer will go off and you just like pass out?
It happened to me mid-fight. Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
And like, so there's that. And so then you're constantly switching like back and forth, because I think it wants you to progress the story together. So like, you're like, okay, I've gone as far as I can as Sora. Now I got to play as Riku. Okay, now I've gotten to a point where, but like the story, they're like two different things are happening typically. But
In a game series noted for its insane turns and like nonsensical reveals. The idea that somebody in a meeting was like, okay, we want to have two protagonists in this game. How do you switch between the protagonists? Oh, he falls asleep fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just falls asleep. But you could also opt to do it yourself. You can also, from a menu, drop whenever you want. Uh-huh. The other element that I think is frustrating to me, but I'm also like learning to like, is there's like a Pokemon-like element in it where there are these like spirits that you can craft with like ingredients and they have like different abilities and stuff. And they are sort of your Donald and Sora in this game. So like they fight alongside with you, and different combinations of ingredients make different spirits. So you'll have one that looks like a cat, one that looks like a snake or something. And they all have weird names. And I'm just like, what? And it has, I'm not joking, like five menus to navigate for this one thing. And it's just like, it's so much. And like, it doesn't need it, I think.
Right.
Just like either give Sora more powers or make the enemies not as hard or whatever. Like, I don't know. That to me, you don't need. There's not a story reason for that, I think. Because then there's also like, it has the same combat system of the one that I just played, Birth by Sleep, which I loved. And learn to love this new combat system where you can meld attacks together and make new abilities and things like that. It has a similar one in this, but you can't meld anything. And I'm just like, how do I make these things stronger? I'm not very far in the game. I'm sure I'll get there at some point. But I also kind of hope at where I'm at right now that the rest of the game is just in this fucking Tron Legacy world. I love it. I just love the aesthetic of it's a little darker than the original Tron, not as bright. And then, you know, that's a point of contention for some people. But I didn't grow up with the original, so I have no allegiance to it. So I that's why I love it. But I'm having a great time with it. I also did start Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Which I texted you, Nick, that so far my enjoyment of it is at least twice as much as the original, because it took things that I didn't think they could make better and made it 100 times better. Like, it just like, so it's just so much more satisfying in ways I couldn't think they could fix.
It's definitely more polished, and also I think it just opens up a lot more of the traversal options that make getting around the world earlier. Like, I think you get some of those, and also I think just like the game's version of a skill tree is like a lot more robust than it is in the first game. But yeah, the little map guy, love that map guy.
I love the map guy. I love the little guys that'll give you a little task. I love.
Yeah, that's, you get some thing side quests.
Like. Yeah, there's just more characters too. I was like, oh, you got the one guy, the one big guy in Ori, and then the big bird, and that's kind of it in the first one. Now you got all these fucking, you got a big frog talking guy. Like, I love all these guys. He's all these little freaks.
So the big frog, Qualic.
Yeah.
I love the game, and it's so charming, and it's so beautiful and heartfelt. And then also just so fun to play. We know someone, a friend of mine, who from the Birthday Boys, Matt Kowalik, who is so the opposite of a like this gigantic, like, you know, like all knowing, serene sort of presence that I just, every time I came upon Qualic in the game world, who's always supposed to be like, it's like a demigod. He's presented with such grandeur.
Yeah.
And I just pictured my friend Matt Kowalik going like, hey, how's it going? Like, it's just like, I got a quest
help
for you. Yeah. I've been playing a game we covered on the podcast that I just can't stop. Like, I went back to, and I can't stop putting hours in it. Yakuza 0.
Wow.
And I'm past the 50 hour mark at this point in Yakuza 0. I'm trying to finish both the real estate sub quest, sub story, the whole real estate thing, and build my real estate empire, which is so time consuming, as well as you do that as one character, and the other character, Majima, you are managing the burlesque, a house of burlesque, and trying to upgrade that, which Heather, you 100% it. I'm trying to do the, I'm doing, managing both these tasks. My assessment of this game, and we partly covered this on the podcast, has gone from like at first I'm like, this is awesome. This is so fun. This world is so richly realized. And it's just like, it's so cool and unique to play it for like, you know, a while. I'm just kind of like, this is kind of overstuffed. To now I am at, this is the apex of gaming as an art form. It is so, it's unfathomably, just complicated and just, there's so much going on. There is one twist where, like, in the main story, the twist of who owns the empty lot, which is the piece of real estate that kind of anchors, you know, the everything that's going on. Like the twist of that reveal, I think, is just so fantastic.
Yes.
But then also the sub stories continue to be so fucking weird that it's kind of like just like a perfect dissection of what's absurd about gaming in terms of like the cause and effect of all these various sub stories. I showed you guys this on our text thread. We're texting.
Wow, we're texting
on the thread. It's like the podcast in written form, and we're doing it for free on our own time.
We should sell access to the text thread.
So there's a I have like six examples. I don't know how many I'll get into, but I'll just one that kind of crystallized how just again how fucking weird this game is. There's a, you know, there's so many mini games. You can go to the batting cages. You can go play Mahjong. You can go play a Japanese version of chess that I still don't understand. You can practice your fighting skills, and you can go bowling, and you can also do, you know, like the racing, like if I'm forgetting the name of the type of racing it is, the slot car racing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at the bowling alley. You get a quest from one of the bowling attendant, who is also like very horny for you, because all the characters are horny. All the female characters are very horny for the two male protagonists, because this whole thing's like a power fantasy. she's horny for you, and she gives you a quest to bowl a turkey, which is three strikes in a row. Bowling is like a mini game within this larger game. So it's not like the best like feel to the bowling, but I stuck with it until I bowled a turkey. I bowled three consecutive strikes.
Oh my God.
And as a reward, I got a chicken. I got what she said was a turkey, turned out to be a live chicken, and that named Nugget. And then that live chicken, which she was going to cook for me, I instead hired for my real estate firm. And so now he's a salaried employee of the real estate empire I have built.
Oh my God.
And I got it as a reward for bowling a turkey. It's like, it's so fucking surreal. And, but this is all coexisting within this life or death, you know, saga that also has just like a lot of like really dark elements to it. I don't know. It's such a unique fucking experience to play through this thing. I'm very obsessed with this particular game, and probably ultimately with this franchise as I dig deeper.
I feel like if there was like if there was something akin to this, it would be like if you got six or seven people together in a room, all with very different sensibilities.
Yeah.
You know, like you got like one of the writers from The Sopranos. You got like somebody who has only designed game shows. You got somebody from like the animation world. You got somebody who was really into like calculators and like, and spreadsheets. And you told them all, we're going to make a TV show and I will never say no to any of you.
Yes.
So like for, if you haven't played Yakuza, it's like, it's joyful because everything is done to a 10. Like everything is like gas to the floor, driving the car as fast as you can conceptually. But none of the things are like, it's as incongruent as the regular world where, you know, I might see a car wreck and then I'll go around the corner and eat a croissant.
Yes.
Yes. It's like,
but only
you
if
know.
You see one.
Only if you see
also,
one.
That has never happened in my life.
I got to get a croissant.
The weapon retrieval is so, I don't know if you, either of you dug into that, but there's like a front operation. There's a, you know,
it's like a restaurant,
that, right? Yeah. It's a restaurant that actually has a guy who trains you in weapons, and then a woman who will like, you can pay to retrieve weapons materials from around the world. So, for instance, one of my interactions was I paid her 12 million yen, which is a, you know, not insignificant amount of money in the game, to send a spy to infiltrate the New York City mafia. And the mission was a success, and he retrieved a bear skin. Like what? What is happening in this reality? It's great. I love it. And this is all, I'm not bringing it up for this reason, but Toshihiro Nagoshi, the creator of the Yakuza series, is supposedly being poached by China's NetEase. So I guess he's understandably something of a rock star. And we'll see if that ends up happening. But that would be a huge, huge shakeup for Sega.
Wow.
So as I've had less and less time to actually play video games, which is a part of why we format changed, was my fault. But also, yeah, a little bit of I would come on,
Nick.
Like I would enter the podcast studio, the virtual podcast studio, visibly sweating and red faced from having been on Zoom for like 13 hours. Anyway, so as my ability to game has declined, my gamification of my actual life has increased. And I got this app called Gyroscope, which is positions itself as the operating system for your body. It combines all your metrics from Apple Health and all of your wearables and everything else. And presents you with sort of like a number of your body.
Yeah.
Like it takes your cortisol levels, your weight, your body, all of it. And then gives you like plans for improvement. So like, oh, I want to write more. Also, I gave this fucking thing access to like it watches me do everything. Like it can tell me, hey, you were on Twitter for 21 minutes. Then 3 hours later, you marked that you were depressed. This correlation keeps happening, except that's not, I felt like I would be sound like a psychopath if I said the truth, which was that like every time I'm on Twitter, my mood goes up. So
Jesus
I didn't want to say that because I didn't.
You do like combat.
It's so fun. Anyway, so I got invited to a beta where you take a photo of your meal and then the meal has like an AI deconstruction of how many calories and like your vitamins and minerals and everything. So it's also giving me like running tallies of effectively my hit points. It is addictive. It is so great. And yesterday, Mary was like, I was like, oh, God, I was so hot after this. I went on a long walk trying to clear my head. And she was like, oh, when did you get back? And I was like 79 minutes after I left. So that was 103. And she's like, stop. You cannot become that person. You have to pull back. But it's great. It's super addictive. And this wasn't an endorsement. This isn't an ad. This is just me liking a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd call it the opposite of an ad from the way you just described it. I definitely. it's called Gyroscope?
Yeah, it's called Gyroscope. And it's really, it looks like a HUD for, it looks like Metal Gear Solid is what it looks like. It looks like you've got like sort of a breakdown. There's like a standing human body with all of these metrics around it that are constantly changing.
Yeah.
And then you can click on like your mind and it'll be like, here are options for your mind. It's great.
Wow.
That sounds cool, actually.
You would love it, Nick. Come on.
I might. You it's actually content. I'll try it.
You might actually then feel a kinship with the standing model because you're going to think it looks just like you.
Here, I'm just going to show you guys for one sec. So this is the UI is my standing human body. And then you scroll through all of your metrics for the day. So it's like, this was an analysis of my sleep last night. This is all of the places I have been and how long I was in each of those locations and whether or not they were productive or fun or workouts. It's awesome. That's all.
Wow.
How are you tracking that sleep?
How am I tracking my sleep?
Yeah.
I bought a ring.
That
stays on your hand. And,
wow.
And does your sleep metrics and also your body temperature, which is a great metric because when you are about to get sick, your body temperature raises like 3 days in advance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So it's I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure
out mortality.
Yeah.
When you fall asleep wearing that ring, does someone else wearing that ring wake up, like, and have your consciousness?
do they drop into then it's their story, not unlike Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance?
I don't know, but I do think. Nah, never mind. That's not that bit won't work. We can just cut it.
What?
I was going to try and do a bit about, like, basically Mr. Roboting myself and, like, you know, I go to sleep, but, like, I wake up in the morning and there's, like, ground beef all over my house and I clearly something else is happening.
No, I wish you did it.
I guess I did. I explained what I was going to do.
Kind of sounds like my house.
What?
Hey, I thought this week... Because we're three adults with limited time who love playing video games and have a little bit of disposable income. So as such, we've accumulated collectively and individually a substantial backlog of games we want to play, but maybe never will. So I thought we'd go through our respective backlogs in a segment I'm calling the Backclog.
Wow.
What would the sound for that be? Like, you're trying to unclog a toilet?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's like a shitter situation. Yeah.
That's a drop for that segment. Oh, God. It's in my ears. Yep. All right. What is it?
Should I start?
Yeah, should Nick, I just talk why through? Don't you start?
Okay. All right, I'm going to talk through some of what I got. For this exercise, I've just got my Steam library open. And I think, like a lot of people who use this service, I've accumulated more games than I can ever play because of Steam sales and giveaways and what have you. So I thought I'd just go through what I have in my library that I have yet to play and make a determination on whether or not I will actually play this. I'll start with what I have installed, what's ready to play. I got games that we've covered on the show. I've got games that I play regularly. And I've also got Outer Wilds, a game that is revered. And a friend of mine, development friend of mine, said he played it and it became one of his favorite games. I am going to say I think I will play Outer Wilds someday. And I'm going to leave it installed, and I think I am going to actually carve out some time to play it because I am super interested in this game, and I think it will appeal to me. So I'm going to say Outer Wilds, I'm saying I'm going to play it.
Great.
It's coming out of my back. It will be unclogged. Scrolling down to the ones that I don't have installed. Candleman, The Complete Journey. I don't remember when I bought this. Alcohol may have been involved. I do know this is... This is a really well-regarded sort of indie platformer. It has a really nice aesthetic. But if I'm being honest, I don't think I'm ever going to play Candleman, The Complete Journey. I think that one's staying in the log.
Candleman sounds like you. It sounds like you. Like if I was going to describe Nick Weigert to it, he's like a Candleman. Would be.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean that in nice terms. Candles are harmless. Yeah.
You say Candleman in a mirror three times and I appear. Hey, buddy.
They're like more afraid than they would have been if it was Candyman.
Are you going to kill me? Nope. Bye. I have Cozy Grove, which I bought pretty recently. This is kind of like a Stardew Valley Animal Crossing, you know, one of those sorts of games. But it's got like kind of a more a spookier aesthetic. It looks cute as shit. And I do want to play it. I bought it partly because I wanted to support the developer because it looked like a really cool concept. Mm-hmm. Came out this year. I think I am going to play Cozy Grove someday. Not yet, but I think I am ultimately going to play that. Scrolling down to the next one I got. Let's see. I did play Endless Legend some. A lot of these are ones I play. Okay, here we go. Firewatch. I am going to play Firewatch. I bought this one when this was on a Steam sale. Maybe we'll cover it on the show someday. Yeah. Not that I need that excuse to play it, but I'm going to play this regardless because I've heard this is a really good walking simulator and it's not super long. And honestly, a game that has a linear narrative or just like a clear narrative and also doesn't take up a bunch of time is I'm in. Like that's the sort of thing I want to play. In fact, I might play that as palate cleanser after I finally polish off Yakuza. Just below that, Frostpunk. I bought that also on a Steam sale. Frostpunk 2 is on the horizon. I'm kind of excited to play this, and I know I love this game, but fuck, god damn it.
Right.
Am I going to put 30 hours into a new strategy game? I don't know. I just don't know if I am.
What is this?
I feel like
segment?
I might never play
is this.
Is this
just Nick like talking about stuff? Like, is that?
Yeah.
No, we're all going to say what's in our backlog.
No, I mean, yeah. I understand the concept of the segment, but like, it just sounds like Nick is like looking at a catalog.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm doing. I'm going through my Steam library saying if I'm going to play something or never play it and trying to be honest with myself. And I've got about an hour left. All right, look. I'll hit a couple more of these. Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth, also bought this on Steam sale. This is like an adventure game that's based off of a famous work of literature that supposedly is so fucking good, even though it's kind of on the longer side for this type of game. Fuck, I really want to play this. I feel like I'm never going to play it, but I really do want to play this. I'm going to be optimistic and say I'm going to play this.
Wow.
Did you say no to any of these yet?
Yes, I did. I think I'm never going to play Candleman, if I'm being honest with myself. And also, I'm never going to play this next one, Slime Rancher, which I bought on a deep discount. It looks super fun, and it's a kind of game I like. It's a kind of, I think it would be really charming and fun, but I don't think realistically I'm ever going to get to it.
I know you just said that you're probably not going to play Candleman. I did just look it up, and he looks kind of cool.
I mean, maybe. Okay, I'll play Candleman. And Slime Rancher. The last game I have here, Yakuza 3 Remastered, which I actually got. Apparently, this is the worst entry in the series, according to fans. But I got this for free as part of a Humble Bundle. Humble Bundle. I got the Humble Bundle. It was like I'm a Humble Bundle monthly subscriber, and they have you get like a free game or a free bundle of games each month. This was in one of them that was in there. I think if I get really into the Yakuza franchise, I might play this, but it's last on my list among the Yakuza games because it supposedly is just like the least fun of any of these. I feel like there's six or seven more I want to tackle before this. That's my backlog. Heather, how about you? What games do you have in your possession but unplayed?
Ratchet and Clank. Not going to play it. Played it a bunch. Then I was like, oh, it's time for something else. Never going to go back. Secret of Mana remake for PS4. Played it, hated the remixed music, and then I was like, well, if I'm just going to listen to the original music, I might as well play the original game, which I'm also not going to do, so never going to play it. Super Robot Wars for the Switch, loved it, so much fun, robots flying at each other, using signature moves from the different series, no fucking way, never going to play, like it's just not going to happen, I gotta be honest. I got Summer Lesson, that VR game that looks like I'm just talking to somebody on the porch. I will play that when the PS5 headset comes out, when the new VR comes out, because I'm going to need some experience. And once the barrier for entry for that is that I run my PS5 through a synchronizing bridge for my lights. So that like my lights change color in my room while I'm playing video games, and the output for the PSVR screws up that bridge. So in order to use PSVR, I have to unplug everything from. So it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So until then, not going to play that. Let's see. Skies of Arcadia. Got it for the Dreamcast. So excited to play it. It's one of the greatest RPGs of all time. It's never going to fucking happen. I'm never going to play that game.
It's really good, too. I played it back in the day.
It's astounding. Yeah. I have the typewriter keyboard for Typing of the Dead, which I'm like, oh my God, on Dreamcast, gonna sit down with my girlfriend to play Typing of the Dead 2 player. That won't ever happen. Like we're never gonna find that moment. Look at this.
Heather is standing up. She's walked away from the microphone. Maybe from the podcast for good. We'll find out.
Finishing the show.
I got the Astro City Mini, you know?
Wow.
Fucking nice 60
games. Nice little piece of hardware you're holding up.
On this thing. Plugs into your television or you can play it on the thing. I'm never going to turn that on again. When am I ever going to play a video game? I'm halfway through Fantasian. I will never turn it on. Like, there's just no time.
Yeah.
There's no time. I am stress racing through Ghost of Tsushima so that I can get through it before the director's cut of Death Stranding comes out in 24 days.
Yeah.
I
didn't even think about that. 24
fucking days.
How soon that's coming out. That's so soon.
We've heard that you can skip right to the extra content if you've already played the game, and that's a lifesaver because... If you couldn't, I would never play the director's cut of Death Stranding despite loving it.
I kind of want to play from the beginning again, though.
I'm looking around. I've got that Xbox now. I spend all of my disposable income on video games. There's nothing else I get except for maybe comic books, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I have this Games Pass, and I downloaded River City Girls. Played that for 20 minutes. Absolutely fucking loved it. I'll never turn it on again.
Yeah.
Flight Simulator. I crashed in Everywhere I Live. Never going to play that. Not that that has goals, but I mean, it would be cool to fly through the pyramids.
I heard they're adding some interesting stuff to it and some Top Gun stuff, like racing stuff.
When you mentioned Game Pass, that becomes a whole nother can of worms where I'm just like, fuck. Oh, yeah. Psychonauts 2 is on Game Pass. I want to play Psychonauts 2. Will that ever happen? I don't know. I would have to bump things off the list. It just becomes impossible.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm calculating that, too, because to me, Game Pass to me doesn't count toward my backlog, but it's a windfall. Like if I finish a game on Game Pass, that was extra game. I didn't need to do that. I didn't even buy that. You know what I mean? Yes. To me, that's just I just did that. That was for fun. But did you have more games in your backlog, Heather?
Yes.
A million probably, right?
Yeah. So the play date, when that comes out, that comes with 12 new games every week or some shit.
Yeah,
I'm going to play one of those and then feel guilt about putting the system down.
Yeah,
right.
I forgot that I ordered that until you just said it. And I made a big deal about it 2 weeks ago.
The fucking Analog Pocket that finally comes out next month. For those of us who got that pre-order in, that Analog Pocket will play all of my old Game Boy games. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down with my fucking copy of Final Fantasy Tactics Advance and actually beat it. I'm going to do it. I've got 200 hours into that game. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play that game ever again. It's perpetually unfinished.
Yeah.
I'm going to die in these games. I'll never know.
Yeah.
Matt Apodaca, how about you?
I mean, my whole life is a backlog. I think I have enough games to get to... be in that Twilight Zone episode where he's like, oh, I can read all these books ever.
Yeah.
But my glasses don't break, and I do try to play the games, but I'm miserable because I'm like, I wish I could just do something else. I can't get to all these. But, I mean, I'm never going to play The Witcher 3. I'm never going to. There's just no way that I think I'll ever finish that. If I'm being honest with myself, Demon Souls... I like it. I think it's a really, really great game.
So good.
Just not a world. I could live a million lifetimes and never beat that game, I think. There's just no way I'll ever do it. Valhalla.
Nothing, Nothing feels more like you actually did something in your real life than beating Demon Souls, just as a heads up. Like, like if you book a gig, like if you compare that to beating Demon Souls, they kind of feel the same, like the same sure. amount of dopamine. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll just never feel good. Valhalla, I'm slightly more optimistic about because I have put some time into that game already. It's just a matter of when I'll ever go back into it.
You're never going to. Come on. It's not going to happen. Well,
okay. Am I ever going to do between these two, Valhalla and Final Fantasy 14? They're like, I think I'm more likely to do Valhalla over Final Fantasy 14.
I feel like Nick has been in the chat talking about Final Fantasy 14 to us for months now.
That's true.
I feel like a year. I keep thinking because I've just, you know, I've never really been deep into an MMO outside of World of Warcraft. And that was like a thing where I was just like, I have to stop playing this because I can tell what this is going to do to my life. But Final Fantasy 14, you know, it's very much in the zeitgeist again. And everyone says that not only is it like a good MMO, but also like has a really good story, and I really like all the music I've heard from it, and like I just love the Final Fantasy universe. Like I kind of want to play it.
I would love to as well. I mean, we had a great time on the Diablo 2 beta. I wouldn't mind squatting up and getting into some Final Fantasy. Avengers, maybe. I enjoyed, so I've been on the first
wait, you bought the Avengers game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I bought the Avengers game because I just
it's supposed to suck shit.
I didn't know.
Everyone says it's awful.
Everyone, but it's good now. Everyone's saying it's good.
They patched it up.
They patched it up and that it's good now. It has the same problems that like any sort of like loot games have, you know, like, but it's that they've cracked down on like the, I don't know, just the gameplay of it all. And they just had the Black Panther expansion. They said that is actually like one of the best parts of the whole game. That's really quite good. I don't know. There's just so much of it. There's so many games. Sackboy, I will continue because I love Sackboy. It's a fun game to just kind of pick up. And that's just PlayStation. Like, there's plenty. I'm looking at this and I'm like, I can't believe I finished Cyberpunk. I have so many of these great games in my backlog, and for this show, I finished Cyberpunk.
All three of us finished Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Heather platinum.
Heather 100% of it.
Yeah.
I stand by it. It was great.
I kind of liked it.
I liked it,
I'm
too.
I'm overall kind of liked it.
But compared to some of these other things, I'm sure I would like, I mean, I'll probably never get to Horizon Zero Dawn. I'll probably never get to finish Jedi Fallen Order. I probably just won't do it. I'm chipping away at, sometimes if I play Switch in bed, the only thing that I'll allow myself to play is Dragon Quest XI. And so I've been chipping away at Dragon Quest XI for like a year and a half. And I think I'm getting closer to the end of it. I really like it. I will finish that.
That's a good bedtime game.
It's so fucking good.
Easy to put down, too. You're just sort of like, okay, I did a couple things. I feel satisfied. I'm good. I'm just going to put this down. I am also playing The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, so I can play my fourth Zelda game ever, I think. Wow. I got to say, I like it a lot.
Wow.
It's really, really fun. I even messed around with the motion controls because I usually only play on my Switch Lite. But I messed around with the motion controls on the Switch Heavy, and I kind of like slashing that sword. That's pretty It's pretty fun. I like that. I'll probably never finish Stardew. Like, there's just I'm actually really proud of myself. I'm looking at like just my home screen on the Switch, and I did clear a lot of my Switch backlog. Pandemic time.
Good for you.
I went through and I was like a wrecked house on my Switch. But I haven't finished Luigi's Mansion. But I'll probably maybe pick that up again for October. But if it gets too scary, I'll probably put it down. But I could go on and on. There's so many. Uncharted. I've never played the Uncharteds really.
I'd played one, and then I replayed that and played 2 and 3 for the first time, as I've talked about the podcast last year during the pandemic, and thought they were dynamite. I really liked them. I actually need to play, you know what? Also, my backlog is 4. I need to play 4.
Yeah. Right now, if it's like short, like to me, short is like 10 hours because you can kind of just kind of pick that up for a couple minutes here and there.
Sure. God, what a fucking hobby this is.
I know.
A short game takes 10 hours of your life. There are games that are like, you know, three to four hours that are, but those are anomalous.
Yeah. But I flew through Ori and the Blind Forest. That's like about a 10 hour game if you're not interested in like 100%ing it, which just by and large, I'm not. I have no interest in 100%ing any game. I don't need to. I don't have to do that for me.
This whole segment is an indictment of consumerism.
Yes.
Like, it's just spending money does not make you happy.
No.
And also, like, it sucks to accumulate enough capital to, like, have to be able to afford things you like. You have to work, which means sacrificing those hours that you could spend on your hobby. It's just like a fucking... It's an awful cycle. And also, it makes me feel guilty to have any sort of disposable income.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have any fucking money to spend on myself?
My book backlog is worse because I don't read any of them.
But books look nice on shelves.
That's
when you got
true.
Something in just like your Steam library, it's like, this is just taking up space in my brain.
Yeah, come look at my computer. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, hey, that was the backlog. If there's any particular games that we mentioned that you think we should play, let us know and say like, hey, you have to play this. Hey, I understand that you're never going to get to this, but you have to play this. This game is dynamite. Hashtag unclog it. Let us know.
And don't be
rude.
Tweet
at us. And don't be rude. Now it's time to take another trip down memory card lane with our own Heather Ann Campbell. It's another edition of the segment called Heather's Hole. She insists on calling Heather's Hole.
Well, welcome to my hole. Today, in my hole, I was digging around.
God.
And today, guys, I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot to prep something for Heather's Hole. I opened up my cabinet and I grabbed all of my PlayStation Vita games.
Wow.
So I had a lot. This was before I decided I'm buying only hard copies forever. But when I had the Vita, I was like, oh, wow, it's like having an iPhone. I can just put the games on here and they don't have to actually exist. So I was addicted to it. So my actual Vita is stuffed full of games that, again, I will never play. And I don't think I've talked about the Vita on here, but it is an awesome system.
Mm-hmm.
It is so well made. It feels like the height of Sony product design. It is good in your hands. It feels solid. It feels expensive and clean and tight. It's a good fucking system that just came out. I mean, like, who's going to play? It's great. There's so many great games. Who's going to play a Vita? Nobody. Nobody's going to play it. The Switch exists. Mm-hmm. But here I have my games that I have in hard copy for the Vita, and I'm just going to share them with you guys.
Wow.
We have launch title, Uncharted: The Golden Abyss.
Wow.
Which was a full Uncharted game that came out when the Vita came out. Unfortunately, it was like a B team, I think. Or maybe it wasn't even Naughty Dog. So it doesn't feel like an Uncharted game.
Right.
It feels like a mobile game Uncharted game or something. Like it does, it's a little off. Even though Nathan Drake is voiced by the right guy, there's just something missing about it. So I never finished Uncharted Golden Abyss. And I never will. Speaking
did
of
you say,
backlog.
Did you say what the games are? Are they, because they're not discs, right?
No, the games look like... You've never seen a Vita game?
No.
They look like Switch games. They're little tiny cartridges.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. You know what? They did something right.
Yeah, the PSP was the was the UMD format, which was like a small disc inside of a triangle.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool.
But, cool as hell. But
the
who
loudest
wants to, like,
thing on earth.
Yeah, so loud. Next up, we have Assassin's Creed 3, Liberation. Is this the one that takes place in Paris? This is Louisiana.
Oh.
I may have never played this beyond like the first.
Wow.
The first few screens. Also, most of these have sale prices on them from GameStop. Like they have like was $49.99, is $9.99.
Right.
Yeah, I probably won't ever play this. It's cool that it exists. Also, look how tiny those cases are.
Yeah,
for those
that's
of
you've
never
like
held a PlayStation Vita case, it is the size of a like a Kindle, right?
Like
a little Kindle. Okay. Up next, the Final Fantasy X and X2 remaster, which has HD graphics, 200 hours of gameplay, including the international version that had never appeared in North America. I got this game because I was in New York and I was across the street from a GameStop and I had like 6 hours to kill and only my Vita with me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to play Final Fantasy X. But the voice acting in that game sucks. Now we're going to get into games.
Real quick, I forgot that came out on Vita. That remaster, and also in the remaster, it doesn't have an option for Japanese voices.
Not in this one.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It just the international version. But no, it's not.
I assume you're playing Ghost of Tsushima in with the Japanese voice acting, which I did, which I really like, and they actually have Japanese lip sync, I think, in the director's cut, which they didn't have in the original, I believe. I also played Dragon Quest XI with a Japanese VO, and I really liked it.
Yeah. Guys, we have three more hard copy games here in my whole. I was a huge fan of the anime Sword Art Online, so I bought Sword Art Online Lost Song for the Vita. You know, the problem with these games that are like based on an anime is that's about it. Like they're like, you came here because you're a fan. You're not, it's not like Fallen Order where the game itself is good. It's like, it's enough that you are playing as some of the dudes from the anime.
Yeah.
The next game is not only a mystery to me as to, I can't remember if this was a gift or what. This game is called Valkyrie Drive Bikuni and shows two girls that look like they're falling in love on the cover.
Hell yeah.
So I looked up what this was because I didn't even know what it, I was like, what is this game? On the cover of this, it also says PlayStation TV compatible. You guys remember the PlayStation TV?
I think so.
Oh, the adapter you could put a Vita up on the screen.
Yeah, the failed Vita adapter. Yeah. So here's the description for a game that doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Wow.
Valkyrie Drive is marvelous cross-media franchise consisting of a planned TV anime. Don't know if that ever came out. The PS Vita title Valkyrie Drive Bikuni and a social game, in quotes. The title takes place in a world where teenagers suddenly find themselves infected with a mysterious virus that temporarily turns their bodies into weapons. So I think you become friends with other girls who on the back of the box look like they are naked, and then they become a sword and you can fight with them.
I'll borrow that one from you later.
I bet you will. It's also available for Windows.
Oh, great.
My final game, guys, is Walking Dead Season 2.
Wow.
Which,
I didn't know that came out on Vita. I guess, of course it did. It came out on everything.
Which I don't know that I've played season one, but
yeah,
it was only $9.99. So I probably was like, oh, I know Walking Dead. I've heard these are good. And then I got it.
They're great. And I think you would hate them. because they are so, the gameplay is so limited. It's just so much of it is kind of like a walking simulator with some, you know, choices you can make in dialogue and some very, very light puzzles.
I think it has some of the best Walking Dead storytelling of any of the things that are Walking Dead. TV, yeah. Comic, game's rock solid.
It's quite good. I was trying to think if are there, because you were talking about the no anime games usually don't work. Are there any good ones? Is it just, I know people like the Dragon Ball FighterZ, the Dragon Ball Z fighting game.
I really liked the...
I couldn't think of any others.
There was a Naruto game developed by Ubisoft for the 360 that I really loved, which I loved in part because they had Grand Theft Auto'd the hometown where Naruto was from, so you could run around the actual village. Uh-huh. The Kill la Kill fighting game is okay. I don't know. There's probably a lot of them, and somebody is listening and screaming at the podcast right now, the names of those games. But generally speaking, I feel like the harder core anime games are usually pretty bad.
Right. At least based on existing IP.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, is that it? Should we close up your hole?
Yeah, let's sew my hole shut.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. That was Heather's hole, and it's time for the question block.
All right, this one's from Remy Rocha on Twitter, and they write, "What game did you do a leap of faith on, and it turned out to be really good? For me, it was Uncharted when the first one came out, and The Darkness."
Uncharted, coming up again. How about that? I remember The Darkness, that was based on a comic, right? They made a few of them.
I think so.
Yeah. A game that you took a gamble on and it ended up working out. This is a really, really good question. Here's one that comes up in recent memory. Slay the Spire.
Oh.
I'd heard Slay the Spire was good. It's a roguelike where it's card-based, you're building decks, and I really liked it, and I really put a lot of time into it. Even though I never really got good at it, I'm just like, I fucking really, you know, with that slope of progression got logarithmic or whatever it is where it starts to taper off, and I just like I really flatlined and plateaued and didn't get any better at it. But that is a game I was just like, I didn't really know anything about this. People said this was good. I like roguelikes. I've had some fun with some deck building games in the past. I'll give this a go. And you know what? I end up having a blast with it. And honestly, now I want to play it again. It's coming out of the backlog.
Whoa.
Wow.
Heather, Matt, any game you took a chance on that you're just like, I wonder if this is going to work out. And it did.
I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Assassin's Creed series before Valhalla. I took a chance on that in part because I wanted to see what games looked like on my PS5. Same with Spider-Man Miles Morales. I never played the original Spider-Man for PS4. Both of them were so highly regarded, and they both worked out for me. They're great games.
Those are great answers. I've been thinking about revisiting Miles Morales, actually, because I loved it so much. But a game that I guess I took a chance on, two sort of different ones come to mind right now. The Hitman franchise, you know, I had heard people say that they liked Hitman and that Hitman was good, but I had never played him before. And I just went all in, went through the first one in this trilogy, finished it, immediately jumped into the second one. And by the time I was done with the second one, 3 was out, went straight into 3. I think one of my favorite franchises ever now. I love Agent 47. He's such a bad man, this guy.
And that all happened this year.
Yeah.
That was it, you went from a Hitman from Hitman curious to like all in on Hitman.
I love it. I've thought recently. I even got Blood Money and this other one. I can't remember what it's called. And they're fucking in my backlog.
Wow.
And perhaps that's where they'll stay. But I also took a chance. I don't know if this is like a chance. This is sort of a cheat, maybe, this answer. Because I already like the IP. And it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist, Link Evolution, and it's just a Yu-Gi-Oh card battling game, and I was craving a lot. One, I was thinking about how much fun I used to have playing Yu-Gi-Oh, like, in real life with my friends, and then I was like, I want to play, I just want to see the art on the cards. Like, I just like the, like, I was getting nostalgic for, like, the art on cards that I used to have and stuff. And this game's got all the cards, and it's got new ones in it, too. So, and you can go through the story mode and play battles that you remember from the anime, which is one that I did watch. I only watched, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon were, like my only anime experiences, really. And so I've been playing that, and I was like, I don't even know if this is good. And, like, none of the reviews that I saw were people were, like, nobody was, like, raving about it either. Uh-huh. But I was like, I'll just check this out. And I do love it. It is very, it's just, like, a really nicely made card battling game. Very, very, very fun. And it just looks great. Like, the I don't know. It looks like the anime. It looks exactly like how I remember it. So it's great. I love it.
I'm realizing that what you said about Hitman is kind of the same thing that happened, the same experience I had with the Mass Effect franchise this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never actually played any of the Mass Effect games. I was like, I feel like I'm going to love these. And then I played 1 and 2 and loved them. Haven't gotten 3. 3's in my fucking backlog because I had to play some shit for this fucking show. So, but hopefully I'll get to 3. You know what? I'm going to get to 3. I really want to complete the trilogy. Those games are fucking spectacular. Great question. Good question.
Great question.
And hey, speaking of listeners writing in and calling into the show, we have a new feature, the Listener Review Crew. A review crew, if you will.
Okay. Review crew.
Review crew. Review crew.
That's right.
You. Ryu crew, Hadouken!
Heather was pointing with purpose at her camera as she was vocalizing that to emphasize the you, Uncle Sam style. We got some reviews of last week's game, 12 Minutes, and we're going to hear some of those now.
Great. Yeah, this one's from Mark Bruno, and they write, accidentally stabbed myself in the throat in front of my wife trying to put the knife down on the table. This was in response to her saying, best night ever, 4 out of 10. Really funny. This one's from CJ Harding, and they write, ugh, the twist was unearned and made absolutely no sense. The puzzles, even the ones that seemed straightforward, were maddeningly obtuse. Why did Willem Dafoe play two separate voices? And the way you have to repeat the same dull dialogue over and over again. Ugh. The double ugh in this review.
Wow. Two uggs.
Two uggs. Yeah. What am I? A pair of feet in the year 2004?
Heather looks pain.
Okay.
Because of the boot.
Willem Dafoe, it's not like, I think what's going on is it's not two separate characters. I think it's like the cop is like a manifestation of the father. I think that's what's supposed to be happening. It's like a fucking weird psycho sexual torment thing.
Mm. But to even that point, it sucks. Yeah. this one's from Derek 11, and they write, I love time loop stories, but Groundhog Day, this was not. It was enjoyable for maybe 30 to 40 minutes, insufferable for just as long, and then I watched a playthrough. Glad I gave up as the solution was beyond my patience.
Yeah, totally fair.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I like that phrase, beyond my patience.
It's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good. So, like, definitive, and you understand immediately what that means. Like, oh, I didn't even have time to be frustrated with this.
Yeah.
Heather has a new way to describe me and Matt. Yep.
And then my final one is from Cavaccino on Twitter, and they write, 12 minutes broken down, 20 minutes of confused frustration, 10 minutes of reading a walkthrough, 30 minutes to finish the game, 5 minutes losing my mind at that terrible ending twist. Nobody liked this twist.
No.
A bad, bad twist. And I thank you for writing those. And, you know, once that's something that you can just send to us now. When you see that we're doing a game and you've played it, let us know what you think about it, and we'll read it on the show.
Those are all awesome. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who sent those in. Those are great. You can hit us up on social media, on our Twitter and Instagram, at GetPlayedPod. You can send us an email at GetPlayedPod@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to leave us a voicemail review, we might play it on the Ryu crew.
We'd love it.
616-2-PLAYED. That's 616-275-2933. Our music and engineering are by the great Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter, at BaffleGabs. And Matt, remind us what game we're going to be discussing next week.
Next week, we're talking Portal. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Bucket.
Edge.
Because of the boot.